you could just pray for me for a moment so that I'll say something useful for your edification and growth in holiness and grace. And let's ask for Our Lady's prayers. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Jesus tells us that very consoling, gives us that very consoling promise, I will go and prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, many mansions, and I will go and prepare a place for you. It consoles us in one way because when he seems absent from us, when we experience only silence or distance, we feel some absence in our hearts, we can be consoled knowing that he is only absent because he's preparing a place for us. In that sense, he never forgets us. He is always thinking of us. He is always preparing a place for us. So we don't have to be afraid of that absence, or in the times of struggle or trial where we might be tempted to cry out, or we might cry out, where are you, Lord? What are you doing? Are you paying attention? Do you see the suffering that I'm going through, that we're going through? Do you see this? And we can remember this verse. I'm going to prepare a place for you. We feel loved when someone prepares a place for us. I know Father Nathaniel and I coming here and having a place prepared, a hermitage prepared, knowing that we've been thought of, and sometimes with little notes and signs, and we know that someone has been thinking of us, even when we're not in their presence. We feel loved. This is what Jesus is doing all the time. He's always thinking of us, always preparing a place for us. One of the ironies is that the same word, a place, topos, is used to describe what we did not prepare for him. When the Holy Family came to Bethlehem, it says that Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a feeding trough because there was no place for him, no topos for him in the inn. And while he makes space in himself, while he opens his heart for us, while he prepares and makes room for us in heaven, we don't make room for him in our homes or in our hearts. I can't remember if I've mentioned this in a homily for you all before, but I found a nice category, a nice distinction for conversations in the work of a woman named Judith Glaser. She calls it conversational intelligence. She describes three levels of conversation: a transactional conversation, a positional conversation, and a transformational conversation. Transactional is kind of ask, tell, exchanging facts and information to get on the same page. It's what we do when we meet someone for the first time. Positional is when we start to post our opinions against someone else's and we try to convince them. Sometimes we listen in a way that we're looking for a hole in an argument in order to undermine it and put our own position forward. We have that positional conversation. But the transformational conversation is share and discover. Really what we're doing in that conversation, in the listening portion of it, is making space for someone, making a place for someone, giving space in our hearts so that someone can present themselves, share their hearts, their experience as they are. And we receive that. We learn from them. We open a place for them in our hearts and we give them room. Of course, that requires a lot of trust to give someone room in our hearts. What they share with us is going to change us, is going to shape us. And to actually trust that much is a real act of love. Transformational conversation, as it turns out, at a biological level, actually changes our DNA. When someone is able to share in that way and be received in that way, it actually changes us structurally, releases oxytocin, facilitates bonding. But that transformational conversation is transformational. It really changes us. And this is what our Lord does for us when he creates a place for us in his own hearts. And when we can also make that space for him, open that space for him, and open that space for others, create a place in our hearts for others to be able to do that sharing, that totally free, with no fear of judgment or no fear of being convinced that you're wrong or told that you're not saying the right things or thinking about things in the right way, but just the space to be able to share freely is transformational. This is what the Lord does in us. And if we let him, this is the kind of space that he wants to make in our hearts. Teresa of Avila, of course, used this image of the mansions to describe the human heart, to describe our souls as having many mansions, seven rings or seven layers of mansions in our hearts. And it's what the Lord wants to do, to keep tunneling deeper, to keep going deeper, to keep opening greater spaces for himself to dwell in and for us to commune with him in. He actually knows our interior better than we do. But when we open that kind of space, the person that's in the transforming union is also most radically open to others, is able to create that space of welcome, that space of communion, that space of transformation in which others also can encounter the Lord. So that's what the Lord is doing in us, creating that place. And that's one of the great mysteries, is this place that he's creating in heaven to prepare for us is a place that he's also creating in the depths of our souls. Heaven is not just only much, much later and far, far away. Heaven is actually already with us and being carved out more deeply in the depths of our souls. Eternal life is this, to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Eternal life begins now, and heaven begins now in this place that he is carving out for himself to dwell in and for us to dwell in more deeply. The seventh mansion is also the place of greatest peace and rest. The transforming union that God wants to bring us into is also a taste, a living out of heaven on earth, still through the veil of faith, but in a very real way in the virtue of charity. That's what the Lord wants to do in us. Now, the good news is that no matter how closed our hearts are and how many defenses and barriers we might have, St. Joseph has a way of finding a place. After all, when there was no place for him in the inn, he still found that feeding trough. He found a place of hunger in us, sometimes experiencing our hunger, our suffering, our deficiencies, our poverty, our weakness, becomes the opening that helps us to make a place for the Lord, crying out to him to provide what only he can provide. And he's so humble that even under the form of food to feed our hunger, he will come to us, as St. Pascal Baylin also understood very deeply in his reverence for the Eucharist. And as you enter also a day of fasting, I'm aware of the hunger, the longing that can also be in your hearts to make a place for the Lord. Let St. Joseph place the baby in the feeding trough of your hearts as he cracks open the door and makes a deeper place for himself in you.
Trusting in the Father's love, let us pray for the Church and for the whole world. We pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and for all bishops, that their love for the Eucharist may be contagious and open a place for Christ in every heart. Let us pray to the